Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures presents Agent Cody Banks. Seattle, 6:59 and counting. A friendly suburban neighborhood. A man walking his dog waves to another man carrying a mug of coffee, whilst the paperboy throws his papers from the back of a pickup. It's 7 o'clock when a teenage boy, Cody, hits a button on his buzzing alarm clock. He wearily climbs out of bed and suddenly strikes a fighting position. In the kitchen, the dog helps himself to a ration of discarded bacon left on a plate.
Allowance. I need a raise.
Alex, buying your girlfriend more gummy bears isn't going to close the deal.
Yeah, like you'd know,
Alex.
But Mom, Cody's almost 16 and I've had twice as many dates as him.
Sitting in a treehouse isn't exactly a date.
It is when you're playing doctor.
Bye.
Hey.
Cody goes back and kisses his mother.
Oh, you smell good. Did you shave? Don't forget your chores.
I'll deal with them later.
Cody, those poor guinea pigs have been sitting in excrement for days.
Alex, you play with them more than I do. How about we trade chores? I'll mow the lawn 3 times.
No way. Just because I'm 10 doesn't mean I'm an idiot. I know what excrement means.
Alex, we're eating here?
Cody kneels down next to the guinea pig hutch and sighs. Meanwhile, a young woman parks her car at the top of a hill. Her young son is in the back.
Sweetie, Mommy will be right back.
The woman's about to cross the street when Cody sweeps past her on his skateboard. In the car, the toddler is out of his seat and climbing forward when he puts his foot on the handbrake. As the woman posts some letters, the toddler plops down in the driver's seat and moves the gear stick out of park. The car starts rolling backwards down the steep hill. The woman turns and gasps in shock as she sees the car disappearing down the hill. Her child is quite content and locks the car door. Cody starts speeding down the hill in hot pursuit of the child. He weaves through the traffic and crouches down on his skateboard, trying to build up his speed. Catches up with the car and grabs onto the radiator grill. He carefully edges around the bodywork and narrowly avoids the open door of a parked car. He moves to the other side and spins his board around, allowing him to grab the runaway car's wing mirror. He tries the door.
Unlock the door! Unlock the door!
The toddler laughs and shakes his head. Cody has to let go as they approach some roadworks and loops around the inside of a concrete pipe. He flies out of the end and lands just ahead of the car that's careering downhill backwards. Cody doesn't see the car until it nudges him from behind. He pushes the back end of his skateboard down, throwing up a shower of sparks. He's pushed across a busy junction and then jumps up onto the boot as his skateboard flies out from under him. He clings desperately onto the open sunroof as the toddler weaves the car from side to side. As they approach the closing gates of a railway crossing, Cody leans inside and pulls on the handbrake. The car stops, swinging around inches from a speeding train.
Next time, please stick with a tricycle.
Onlookers run down the hill as Cody climbs off the car. The mother opens the door and clutches onto her child.
Sweetie, it's okay.
She looks around for Cody, but he's back up the hill retrieving his still smouldering skateboard. He chuckles to himself and skates away. Hong Kong, Iris headquarters.
Dr. Connors, we've given you a great deal of money. We expect results.
Yes. If you gentlemen would step this way, please. Gather around. Imagine we're somewhere in Alaska and a huge oil tanker runs aground. What do we get?
An oil spill, one of the most serious threats to nature. A calamity that could take generations for sea life to recover. Wait, what's this? Look who's coming. The nanobots.
A microscopic view shows the tiny robots eating the oil.
Lovely.
He thrusts a fork into a model seal.
Baby seals everywhere will praise your name, Doctor. So, is that real oil, Connors?
Oh, yeah. Yes, here's a sample. You can test it if you want.
Can they be programmed to eat anything other than oil?
Sure, theoretically, they could be programmed to break down any silicon or carbon-based compound.
You have 10 days.
What? That's impossible.
You said you have 10 days.
We have our own agenda, Doctor.
That's impossible.
Goodbye, Dr. Connors.
That man still has no idea what we hope to achieve.
Let's keep it that way, Francois.
A tumbler of water is filled with ice and taken into a dimly lit CIA briefing room.
I told you, no ice here.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
You never know how long it's been up there in the freezer. It could be filled with all kind of crap.
This is Dr. Albert Connors, the world's foremost expert in nanotechnology, microscopic robots.
These little robots could be programmed to destroy our most vital communication and military infrastructure. I'm talking missile guidance systems, boats, tanks, planes, biological and chemical...
We get the point. Now, before we lost contact, Agent Bolivar confirmed that Connors is working with Iris.
This is probably my last transmission. I think they're onto me. Whatever you do, don't send any more agents. Everyone has been compromised. I'm going to transmit images now. This is yesterday. At the Ares Covard Conference, where Dr. Connors demonstrated his latest advancements. And this is Dr. Brinkman, head of Ares. And this, Francois Mollet, his henchman. As far as I understand it, they found...
The video feed ends.
Now, we need to know what they're planning. The problem is, Connors is very reclusive, extremely secretive. After his wife died 2 years ago, Connors virtually dropped out of public view. His only contact with the outside world is through his daughter, Natalie.
I want to get close to this girl.
McAllister, brief the staff on the agent development program.
Under the guise of a summer camp for the brightest and best, we began to recruit.
Welcome to the agent development program. Since 1987, and under strict secrecy, the CIA has been recruiting juvenile agents the nation over. As soon as we received word that a potential candidate had been spotted, we approached them with undercover agents and brought them into our facilities under the guise of summer camps. And their parents had no idea of their real activities. There they were trained to the highest standards in all forms of combat defense, navigational techniques, and, of course, explosive diffusion. Our fully trained juvenile agents are stationed all over the nation. They meticulously maintain the facades of normal childhoods as they await their call for duty.
Wait. You're telling me we're training children to become agents?
Teenagers. Look, let's be clear about this. The clock is ticking. This may be our last best chance.
These kids operate alone.
Of course not. That would be irresponsible. One of our most impressive agents lives not far from Natalie Connors. Smart, resourceful. And according to my reports, he's quite a lady killer.
It's Cody.
Hey, Cody. Are you in special ed?
He smiles uncomfortably and turns away. In the locker room.
Hi, Cody. So you think Amy... Friday night... Cody,
I need to study. So why don't you go jump off a cliff or something?
The basketball team are suddenly enraptured as a glamorous brunette steps into the locker room. She's wearing dark glasses and a red outfit unbuttoned at the top to reveal her cleavage. Oh. Amidst nudges and giggles from the team, she strides over to Cody, swaying her hips.
Cody Banks?
Yeah?
You want him?
She wants Cody.
Quiet!
Or you'll all be in trouble.
Ooh. Yeah!
You, come with me.
Why?
Hey, I don't want to be in trouble.
She pulls off her young admirer's towel.
Well, since you're on the business of taking towels, take mine too.
Could you hold this, please? Thank you. I really hate it when people talk back.
She whips the boys with a twisted towel.
Thank you. Let's go.
Who are you? What did I do?
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece as white as snow.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers?
Bubblegum, in a dish.
How many pieces do you wish?
This is what happens when you design a code book in summer camp.
Cody follows the woman out.
So, I'm being called up? My country needs me?
Yep.
So where are we going? The Middle East? Russia? China.
Downtown Seattle.
Now, Cody's in a helicopter high above the city. His enthusiastic smile is met only with a stern look from the agent. Now they're in the CIA base.
I'm in. My first mission.
Didn't think it would happen this soon?
Hey.
Yeah, plus, I think my partner was gonna...
Let's get one thing straight. I am not... your partner. I'm your handler. Like in the zoo.
Cody's still smiling.
You will speak only when spoken to. You will follow orders completely and without question. If you're lucky, you might get
some... Cody wanders away.
Wait.
How did you get in here? There's no school tour today.
I'm not on a school tour. Look, I'm an agent. I just came from basketball practice. I probably left my ID in the other clothes.
Right.
I'm with Veronica Miles.
You wish.
Here
it is. Veronica approaches with another agent.
Sir, I just apprehended a trespasser on the premises, and it was a bit of a struggle.
What's your name?
Rosenchuk.
Rosenchuk.
Come here, Rosenchuk.
You know, you've just apprehended the most important kid in America! Mr. Banks, this way. What was he thinking? You got agent written all over you. I mean, it's in the eyes. You got it, kid. Come on.
Welcome to the CIA.
Cody's led into a huge operations room filled with dozens of computer terminals.
We've prepared a briefing to explain nanobots to you.
Nanobots? Yeah, I'm familiar with them. Tiny weapons, giant potential. Microdevices... built up of compounds of polymer, cobalt, and gold. Other types constructed with multiple fullerene complexes called buckysomes. Universal assemblers that can bond atoms and computer circuits with the most impressive tests on microsurgery having been conducted at Sweden's Linköping University.
Well, I guess we could move on, huh?
Okay, let's turn to Natalie Connors. Natalie Connors, 15 years old. Hair blonde, eyes brown. Likes horses, preferably Arabians. Pistachio ice cream, turquoise jewelry, and T.S. Eliot. Learn everything you possibly can about this girl. I want you to get close to her.
That's my mission? I have to get close to her?
Yes. Insinuate yourself into her life. It is imperative you find out what her father and heiress are planning. And we'll help. We've placed you in all of her classes.
All of them?
Isn't that a little creepy?
Creepy? We're the CIA. That's what we do.
Right?
And, you want me to become her boyfriend?
Cody, the plan is simple. Natalie Connors has a birthday coming up. Her father's going to throw her a party. The first step is to get yourself invited to that party.
And be careful. This is not Secret Agent Little League anymore. This is the show, Mr. Banks. And this is showtime. Now, if you can't handle it, you just tell me now.
You can count on me.
Ah, yes.
Attention, rocket launch test.
Cody and Ronica step into a gadget lab.
I know it's tempting, but don't touch anything.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A test of a jet-powered skateboard goes awry as the rider plows into the wall.
Mr. Banks, come see me, son.
I prepared a number of dope items, which I think you're going to be down with. This item here is equipped with a virtual telephoto lens, low penetration x-ray.
Cody looks at Ronica, who covers her chest.
Give me that. This is your cell phone. It's a state-of-the-art mobile command center with a holographic audiovisual display and a personal GPS transceiver. Okay. Now, this is a CIA get-out-of-trouble watch. See a silver button? Mm-hmm. Be very careful with this little silver button, okay? Because it'll just make people go...
Wait, what was that? Wait, one more time.
I don't even want to know.
All right, let's wrap this up. $5,000 cash.
What for?
I think they buy things with it. I believe. Okay, that's it. Thanks for coming.
Well, wait. I think we're forgetting something.
Oh, no, I'm not forgetting anything.
What about those wheels over there?
No, Cody. That's on a need-to-drive basis. You don't need to drive.
I need to impress the girls.
Okay, well, then we got you fixed up. Look at this. This thing is really full of surprises.
Fine.
I think you're going to impress the girls. Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Thanks.
You're transferring to a prep school?
Yep. I got a full scholarship to Donovan Prep Academy.
A scholarship? What? Hold on. I don't understand. When did you apply? Did I sign something?
Yeah, you remember a few months ago. It's always been a dream of mine to go there.
It has? But what about your friends?
I'll make new ones.
What? With all those spoiled brats?
And why would they want you?
Diversity. At least 5% of the students have to be normal.
Okay, I don't know about this. In fact, I want to tell you something. I want to make something very clear. I am not agreeing to anything until I meet an administrator from that school.
Ronica.
Mr. Banks.
Yes? Yes?
I'm Ronica Miles from the William Donovan Preparatory Academy. I'm an administrator from the school.
Cody smiles at himself in the mirror.
Agent Banks.
So, I heard you really closed the deal with Amy. Maybe you should try gummy bears.
How do you know about that?
Everybody knows.
She thinks I'm a loser.
Duh. Amy, I...
Cody is a wonderful student with extraordinary math and science abilities.
And what is it exactly that you do?
Dean of Admissions. And Donovan Academy just feels he isn't being challenged in his current environment.
But do you have some kind of paperwork that we might see?
Of course.
Ronica hands Cody's parents an expensive color brochure, which they look at admiringly.
Wow. Ready for the test?
Cody and Ronica pull up in a silver van outside his new school.
Nervous?
Nope.
Got your schedule?
Honors English, trig chemistry. Hey, I don't think I need all of this. Why don't I just meet up between classes?
You will attend every class as instructed. You might even walk out of here having learned something.
This isn't exactly what I had in mind when I signed on to the CIA.
Yeah, join the club. I didn't think I'd be chaperoning teenagers.
You know, maybe you should try decaf.
The surveillance team chuckled to themselves.
It's my job to make sure you do your job. If you screw up, I take the heat. So I guess she grows on you. Right?
Nope.
Admission papers. Hat.
Hat? What hat?
Seattle Seahawks. They're her favorite football team. You know, it's an icebreaker. A conversation starter.
A novelty hat.
Look, that guy has a bird on his head.
Guys!
No, it looks good.
Listen, I'm not wearing this. I look like an idiot.
Guys, there's 2 minutes till first period. We want to be tardy.
Ronica hands the hat to one of the surveillance guys.
What if she doesn't like me?
What's not to like?
She watches him go with a warm smile. Meanwhile, the other pupils are arriving. Some girls are practicing their cheers, whilst other pupils are perfecting their golf swings. Cody walks to the entrance, looking a little lost in his new surroundings. Now inside, he refers to a small card and makes his way to class. Natalie bumps into him.
Sorry.
Cody stares at her, lost in an infatuated gaze. He smiles as he watches her move in slow motion.
Target acquired.
Now he's surrounded by bigger teenagers.
New kid. You're the scholarship case from the other side of town, right?
Pleased to meet you. My name's Cody. Banks.
Banks? Hey, we got something in common, Cody. My dad owns Banks.
Very funny. I gotta go.
Not so fast. Check it out.
Come on, give it back.
What are you gonna do about it?
In Cody's black and white fantasy, he smacks the bully around with a series of punches and kicks before tossing him across a table, much to Natalie's admiration. In reality.
Okay, if you're gonna go ahead and keep my watch, just promise me you won't touch that silver button right there.
That silver button?
Yeah, just don't touch it. It's
really
don't touch it. He's covered in blue electricity, and the watch flies back into Cody's hand.
I told you not to touch it.
The bully slowly gets to his feet. Cody approaches Natalie.
Hey, are those books?
Yeah.
Oh, I love books. I could read all day. Love them.
Great. Then you're in the right place.
I especially love T.S. Eliot.
You do?
Oh, I think she's amazing, you know, the way she captures the female perspective. It's just so female-like. It's great.
T.S. Eliot is a man.
Well, if you want to get all technical, of course, but, you know, you never know these days.
Do you by any chance happen to be in special ed?
I love horses. I think their hair thing is really cool.
What a freak.
Later, Cody stares at Natalie in class.
Natalie Connors. Way out of your league.
Driver's end.
Cody goes outside for class where Natalie's already waiting.
Uh-oh, here comes horse guy. Good luck.
Hey, you got driver's ed too.
What's the deal? You're in every single one of my classes.
I guess great minds think alike.
Great. We got Mr. Yip. He doesn't pass anybody.
Look, I'm sure if you don't pass, I'm sure your dad can drive you around.
Actually, it's because of my dad that I need to get my license.
So you can drive him around?
No, so he can drive me around.
Why? Is he busy with something?
Yeah, he's always busy doing some kind of experiment.
Like a scientific experiment?
Yeah, he's a scientist.
Cool, with microscopes.
You're getting weird again.
Good afternoon, children, huh? Driving is a privilege, not a right. I'd be delighted to instruct you in the operation of a motor vehicle. But I have a larger responsibility to protect society at large from the idiots and the drug-addled delinquents who call themselves the youth of today. Today! You name Miss Connors? Hmm? Yeah. You're first! Go! Go!
Natalie starts driving and hits a barrier.
Look left, look right. You didn't turn on your brake. I never said this is your left, that is your right. No. Get out of the driver's seat.
Okay, but I...
A cardboard cutout.
One grandma, multiple cones, three curves.
Who can drive with you screaming like that?
You fail. Fail! Fail!
No, I need to get my license.
Next!
Damn, the floor mat isn't straight.
Cody zaps a wire with a gadget.
All ready.
Good.
He floors the accelerator and the car speeds back in reverse. Mr. Yip tries his dual controls, but they won't work. Mr. Yip screams and looks around in terror as Cody speeds round the intricate course. He weaves through a slalom of cones, taking the perfect line. He rides up a broken barrier and tilts the car sideways up onto two wheels. The car stops and falls back onto its four wheels.
Did I pass?
Nat, are you okay? Oh my god, he almost fell over. Come on. Actually, I don't feel so good. He totally could have killed you.
Natalie.
Just stay away from her. Are you okay?
You! I will personally go to DMV. You will not receive a driver's license! Never!
Two agents.
Mr. Yip. What?
We'd like to have a word with you about Mr. Banks' driver's license.
Immigration's paper, okay?
Hi, hi. Hey. Hi, my fellow agents. Hi.
Ronica is showing off her martial arts skills.
Good luck. Good luck. He's dead. So dead.
Hey, Cody. Hey.
How'd I go today?
Great. I've got her getting out of my hand.
Fantastic. So she invited you to the party?
No, but the vibe's all right.
They exchange a flurry of kicks and punches.
Have you asked her out yet?
Not yet. But don't rush me.
The clock's ticking. And what's wrong with tonight?
He tries a kick, but she grabs his foot.
It's a school night. I got home.
She spins him round, then he tries a jumping kick.
Cody, what's the problem?
Nothing. But now there's a brain. You have me in all those AP classes. My workload's insane.
Mission depends on you.
I know, but... Come on. Just tonight, I had to do two chapters of trigonometry. Plus, I had to write an essay on Henry V, not to mention my chores.
He pins her down.
Of course, if I had a little help.
I can't believe what we're talking about.
All right. The agency will take care of your chores and your homework. You focus on the girl.
At the bank's house, four men in identical overalls mow the lawn, whilst a team of men in red suits go inside. black pest control van pulls up outside the house, and the cleaners are now using large industrial machines.
Teams A and B commence domestic sanitation.
The guinea pig hutch is being cleaned.
Team 3, I need a new sponge. Repeat, need a new sponge, over.
Did you miss a spot?
Cody heads into his bedroom and is offered the choice of two bedspreads.
Which one would you prefer, this one or this one?
I kind of like this one myself. Good choice.
On his computer.
To develop a secret weapon, I'm going to transmit images now. It's Dr. Brinkman, head of Ares, and this, Francois Mollet, his henchman.
Cody's parents return.
Get out of the house. Get out of the house.
What? They're here?
Yeah.
What are they doing here? They're not supposed to be here for another hour.
The cleaners sneak out of the back. Mr. and Mrs. Banks are stunned when they see the immaculate condition of the house.
Wow, what are they teaching the kid that new school? Oh my God, look at this.
Holy.
The kitchen is completely spotless. He hurries downstairs.
Hey, Codeman, I know it's your dream to play for the Sonics, but if that falls through, you'd make somebody a good janitor.
Well, you told me to do my chores.
Honey, we are very impressed. Here's $5.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
He adds the money to a substantial wad of cash. Through the window, he sees two agents wearing gardener disguises, gesturing for Cody to come outside.
Hey, I'm gonna go take Marvin for a walk.
Okay. Cody hands the dog lead over to an agent and then climbs into the back of an unmarked van. Ronica and lots of other agents are crammed inside.
Your homework to your satisfaction?
Yeah.
Your room is nice and tidy?
Mm-hmm.
Guinea pig cage is clean?
Yeah.
Well, I think we've done our part.
Now you do yours. Call Natalie. In here?
Hurry.
I'll do it in my room.
The dog is peeing on the agent's shoes.
He pooped twice.
The agent has to put the bags of poop in his jacket pocket. Back in the van.
That wasn't me.
No, I smell like that.
Oh! Get out! Everybody out! Hello, Natalie. Guess who? Hey, pretty lady. What's going on? Dude, Natalie, how are you doing? Hi, Natalie, it's Cody. I was just wondering what you're doing this Saturday.
He starts to dial. The surveillance team are listening in.
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
He hangs up and collapses back on the bed.
This mission is screwed.
We've spent $10 million training this kid. And we did not teach him how to talk to a girl!
Sir, I assure you, we had no idea.
You shy?
Cody's a little delicate.
My mother's ceramic cat collection is delicate. This is national security!
I'm sorry.
I've got reports from the training program.
You brag about having lots of girls.
It was camp. I exaggerated. Everyone does.
Okay. So, What is the truth?
Well, when it comes to girls, I suck. Veronica, you met my dad. Well, I'm his son.
Ladies and gentlemen, somebody has got to teach this kid how to talk to a girl.
Cody, I understand you're having a problem with women, son, so I've assembled a team of experts here to sort of help you along from the point of contact to the point of closure. You gotta close, Cody.
Any species is predicated upon mating. The males and the females must couple, or the animal will surely die off.
Look, I'm just trying to get a first date.
Let me tell you how the hyena does it.
You see this thing here?
There's a lot of laughing involved.
Tell you, it makes you want to give the good Lord a standing ovation. You just want to go, woo!
First, you got to let her know she looks fresh. Pay her compliments about her hair and her dress.
You got to be smart. Get some dirt on her.
They can think out of both sides of their brain at one time, emotion and intellect.
Check out her previous boyfriends.
You got to pick her up. Don't be late. It's a very bad way to start off a first date.
My grandfather used to say, oh, son, women are like cow chips. The older they get, the easier they are to pick up.
Let's take a few deep breaths as we turn to the relationship pyramid.
Forget all that. You got to be straightforward, stern, commanding.
He's dead now.
And remember, shower before seeing the girl.
No, you want to be dank. You dusty and musky. This all smells. She's got to smell you.
My father's married 100 years or so.
You got to smell like a man, like a savage beast.
He's got a ring in the back of his neck now. You pull it, he goes, my fault.
Like a wild animal, like the cheetah, the chip.
Here's
the pill, remember? If you find yourself in a difficult position, hang on. Ride it out. Hold on. Get your energy back. You want to push.
Think like a hyena. To be a hyena.
Remember, in the fog of war, it's the one who wants it the most that comes out on top, kid. And I don't think you want it the most. I think you are a pathetic loser. I think you're a disgrace to these honorable men and women. How the hell are you going to hold your head up high when you walk down the center of Main Street? That's straighten up when I talk to you. You're nothing but a pathetic mama.
Get off. I'm sorry this happened. Okay, this one's going to be good.
The scientist presses a button on a remote control which switches on a moving hologram of a beautiful woman. Cody looks amazed.
Cody, don't say I never did nothing for you, brother. Look at that.
In a figure-hugging pink outfit, she lies down in front of Cody.
Hey, Cody. Come over here. I'm free tonight. What shall we do?
Kid can't even talk to a simulated woman.
Maybe I should have started him out at a more intermediate level.
Later, Cody's leaving school with his head in a book. Natalie's high up a ladder, putting up a school banner. Seeing the potential danger, Cody runs forward. Natalie falls, but he pulls the banner tight and she slides down it straight into his arms.
Are you okay?
Where did you come from?
I transferred from Jefferson High.
This will help.
Nurse Hatchet to the football field, please.
Just hold this, please?
Sure.
Nurse Hatchet
okay?
To the football field.
That's good. You think it's broken?
He inspects her ankle.
Ow.
Definitely not.
So, you're a doctor now?
Just experienced. Mm-hmm. I've broken my leg, wrist, a couple fingers.
Let me guess. Driving accident.
Summer camp. You know, one of those go and try to survive in the wilderness places? It's crazy.
I've only been to summer camp once, and it was for gymnastics.
They never told me you took gymnastics.
Who's they?
Okay, that's it. I have to do something.
Ow!
Sorry. So you do gymnastics. It's awesome.
Veronica kidnaps the nurse.
Thank you for your help.
Cody.
Cody.
He helps her down.
You know, Cody, you make a really bad first impression. And a terrible second impression. But the third time, it's really good.
I've got to see my fourth.
I'd like that. Listen, it's kind of short notice, but I'm having a birthday party this weekend, and
I'd love to.
Great.
Monica.
Hello. I'm substituting for Miss Hatchett. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I just need to get back to class.
Glad this young man was there to save you, huh?
We're okay here, nurse. We don't need any help.
I see here in your papers that your birthday is coming up.
You know, that's none of your business, nurse.
I'm gonna go.
Are you having a party? You should invite Cody. I think it's the least you could do for someone who just saved your life. Did you invite him?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Cody, I'll see you on Sunday. Oh, the theme is Las Vegas.
All right, see you there.
Not a word. Not a word.
Be friendly, but keep a low profile. You're not there to socialize. Heiress may have inserted their own agents. Casino dealers, catering staff. Anyone is suspect. And remember, these are dangerous men. They'll think nothing of harming you. So use caution. First floor of the house, public area. Second floor is living space. Down on the beach is Connor's personal lab. If you forget anything, the entire floor plan is stored in your phone. We'll be watching. We're only a couple blocks away. Hold still.
That really freaks me out.
Sorry. Ready?
Yep. Let's go.
Why don't you take it?
He jumps in through the open roof of the red convertible.
You did get him his license.
Yeah.
He puts on a pair of shades and pulls away. He speeds along. A group of agents are undercover as gardeners, one's wearing shades. Cody pulls up at the gate.
He's at the gate.
Ronica listens in.
Name?
Banks. Cody Banks.
You got some ID, Banks?
You mean my driver's license?
Yeah.
He turns on his X-ray glasses, which reveal the security guard is carrying a gun.
There were no guns at my birthday party.
What's this?
My cell phone. My MP3 player. You know these stuffy parties, they get boring.
Yeah, you have fun.
The security guard hands him back his things.
He's in.
Cody pulls up the driveway and smiles as he looks at a waitress's underwear through his X-ray specs. The surveillance team are also enjoying the view. Ronica presses a switch which pixelates the image and displays the words parental control.
Guys, I'm 15 now.
Natalie catches sight of Cody getting out of his car.
Hey!
Cody looks with suspicion at two men delivering ice.
I'll see you later.
Cody walks through the party, passing Dr. Connors as he heads towards Natalie.
Hey, Natalie. How's your ankle?
Oh, it's much better, but I think I'm going to have to hold off on the cartwheels for a while.
Yeah, you don't want to have too much fun.
No. do you want some in a drink or anything?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
A turquoise necklace.
Oh, wow, I love it. It's beautiful. Can you help me?
Oh, sure.
He tries to put it on her, but his hands are shaking. She turns around, smiling.
Sorry. Can you?
As he closes the clasp, a red light on it starts to flash.
Turquoise is my favorite.
I know.
You're not supposed to know that.
I know.
What?
Sorry, just a stupid voice in my head.
Someone's pushed in the pool.
I have to go play hostess.
Hey,
Vince, why am I not the size of you in the first person?
Don't ever interrupt me again.
If you don't watch it, you're going in the pool.
That won't happen again, I promise.
Yeah, right.
Place your bets. Bet for sure.
At the roulette table.
10,000 red, sir.
10,000.
Black 13.
No more bets. Rien va plus. Red 7.
Francois scowls.
Thank you.
'Sir, it's just play money.
Francois takes back his chips. Cody leaves the table and goes to the balcony, where he puts on his X-ray specs. He gazes at the stunning lake view for a moment before zooming his specs onto an open-sided freight elevator which is carrying Francois and another man. A hovercraft is crossing the lake.
Guys?
Frank.
The hovercraft stops on the beach, and Brinkman gets out. He hurries up a set of stone steps and onto a lawn where he's met by Dr. Connors and Francois.
This way, Mr. Brinkman.
Cody zooms in on Dr. Connors, who swipes his card in a reader and goes through a door with the others.
Let's see what they're up to.
We should wait till it's clear.
I'll be okay. I'm going down.
Cody collects his MP3 player, his phone, and his skateboard from the car. A man in a white uniform loads a canister into a lift, which Cody sneaks into before it closes. As the lift descends, Cody reads that the canisters are carrying liquid nitrogen. At a point where the lift is close to the ground, Cody hops out. Cody sneaks behind one of Brinkman's heavies and ducks down behind a ventilation unit. He checks he's not been seen, then looks up at the party that's going on high above him.
I'm on the roof of the lab.
Cody, be careful. That place is full of motion sensors.
Covering his eyes with his shades, he cuts a panel in the ventilation unit with a laser pen. After he finishes cutting, he pushes open the panel. He climbs in and peers down the shaft. He's about to drop down when he thinks better of it, and begins to adjust the wheels of his skateboard. After finishing his adjustments, he uses the skateboard as a trolley to move through the shaft.
I hope you haven't spent all our money on real estate.
Please don't touch anything, okay? I'll give you a demonstration in just a minute.
Dr. Connors, are you prepared to mass produce?
Yes, but without freezing temperatures, I can't control the nanomods.
That's not a problem. We'll supply with all the ice you'll ever need.
Hey! No!
This one cube, how many nanobots are there?
About 40,000. And as soon as it starts to melt, they destroy everything in their path.
Let's find out.
Brinkman opens up a metal case.
See if they can eat this.
Using a device, Dr. Connors sucks up one of the blocks of ice, then deposits it in a large airtight container. Cody pulls out his MP3 player, which opens up into a remote control camera. He pokes it through one of the vents and films the action. Dr. Connors places Brinkman's machinery into the airtight container and seals it up.
Temperature's rising. Turning to liquid form.
Thermal containment disabled.
Entering the chamber. As you can see, the nanobots are ignoring the glass. They're programmed to destroy only the metal. But if you stick your finger in there, your body temperature will confuse them, and you'll lose it. Painfully.
It feels like little Pac-Man.
What is that thing, by the way?
Just the guidance system to a Russian SS-18 intercontinental ballistic missile.
Are you getting this?
The Americans use similar components.
Congratulations. You've just given us the power to neutralize America's entire strategic arsenal. And leave it defenseless.
You'll never get the nanobots into a military facility.
Yes, we will.
Wait a second. That wasn't a deal. The deal was you finance the project. I decide what we do with the technology.
No. You are going to program them to march in like a column of ants. Now, shall we join your daughter?
Cody rotates the camera as Dr. Connors, Brinkman and Francois head out.
System activated.
Blinds draw down over the lab's windows.
Things are leaving.
Make sure you get a sample of those nanobots.
A grid of thin red laser light now covers the nanobots. Cody retracts his camera.
Going in.
He sticks his MP3 player to the top of the ventilation shaft and pulls down a metal cable from a spindle inside it. Now he's being lowered down through an open vent, but the cable isn't long enough for him to reach the nanobots. Now he's walking on the ceiling using special shoes with a sticky surface on them. He edges forward clumsily until he's above the grid of lasers protecting the nanobots. He takes a couple more steps and reaches down, but can't quite reach them. He presses a hidden button and a small grabbing device protrudes from his sleeve and picks up one of the blocks of ice.
Bravo, Agent Banks.
I got one thing to say. Mission accomplished.
He places the ice in a special compartment in his shoe, but when he starts to move, the nanobots start to eat it up.
The ice is melting, they're eating my shoe!
He falls.
What's that?
Seems to be some activity in the lab.
What sort of activity?
Get him back. Get him back.
These motion detectors are ultra-sensitive. It's probably just an insect.
Or not. Francois?
Francois grabs Dr. Connors by the collar and takes him back to the lab. Using the metal cable, Cody makes a last-minute escape just before Francois runs inside. Hearing Cody in the ventilation shaft, Francois looks up, then hurries out. On the lawn, he scans the area.
Ducks.
Cody makes his escape and removes his shoe. He dumps his shoe and his skateboard into his car.
Hey, horse boy, where'd you steal that car from? Can't be yours.
Yeah, you're so poor you can only afford one shoe.
Not right now. I'm really fried. Maybe we should cool you off with a swim.
Yeah, let's do it.
Guys, come on. It's gotta kick him up.
Yeah. What's
going on?
Hold on.
They carry Cody to the pool, but before they can throw him in, he fights back. He punches one of the bullies in the face, then swings his arms back, popping another two in the face. As he skillfully defends himself, Natalie watches with admiration. He grabs one of them and puts him in an arm lock.
You're really starting to annoy me.
Cody tosses him into the pool. A photographer starts taking pictures.
He's in every single one of my classes.
As Cody hurries to his car, Brinkman and Francois watch him with interest.
This one was a straight out of the CIA handbook.
I thought we got rid of the CIA with Oliver.
Now they've sent a kid. Very impressive. Commence Eris child recruitment campaign immediately.
I've never been so good with kids.
I've noticed. We've got to get out of here immediately. Grab Connors.
But I did a really good job. Ronica, they can't pull me off this mission.
Secret agent Cody Banks. You've made the school newspaper. I think it's safe to say you've blown your cover. We'll take it from here. You'll stay at Donovan for another 2 weeks, and you will stay away from Natalie Connors.
I can't. I can't do that. She trusts me.
You can, and you will. It's your job. You knew that when you picked this career.
I didn't pick this career. It picked me. I subscribed to a few spy magazines and surfed the net for some cool sites. The next thing I know, I'm going to a CIA summer camp. I was 13.
And now you're old enough to know the rules.
A badge.
Here. This is for good luck. You might still be in danger. And we'll keep an eye on you.
To keep me safe or to keep me from Natalie.
She takes his ID tag and looks at him lingeringly as he turns and goes. Snow-capped mountains. Eris Thermolab.
Dr. Connors, why so slow down? We furnish you with every piece of equipment you've ever asked for. You have absolutely, unequivocally run out of excuses. What's the problem?
I will not use science to destroy the world.
Helpless know-all little nerd.
Francois,
I think he needs a little motivation.
Brinkman picks up a framed photograph of Natalie. At home, Cody gets up and answers the door.
I'll get it.
He stops in his tracks when he sees it's Natalie.
Natalie.
Seeing the surveillance unit, he pulls her inside.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Banks. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
That was a girl.
A hot girl. Here you go. Two pistachios.
In a diner.
I cannot believe that you like pistachio ice cream. We have so much in common, Cody. So, tell me again why we had to sneak out the back door.
Natalie, there's something I have to tell you.
You don't have to say anything. I know.
You do?
Yeah. And I think I feel the same way, too.
Oh, man. Natalie, I'm not the person you...
Francois.
Eat your burger.
Cody grabs a startled Natalie and runs with her along the diner's counter, away from Francois and the other men.
Get out of the way!
Your dad got involved with some nasty people.
They're surrounded. Francois grabs Natalie.
Take care of him!
Cody escapes his captors and picks up two pans, which he uses to fight with. Francois forcing Natalie into a stretch limousine behind the diner. Cody manages to fend off some of Brinkman's hoodlums, but then gets punched by Francois.
Hey.
Ronica and the surveillance team look over Cody's battered body.
Wake up. Hello. They took Natalie. She's been kidnapped. She's gone.
Should have stayed away from her.
Don't worry. Okay? We're gonna get her back.
Let me help.
The director issued explicit orders.
They let Cody out of the van.
So what happens to me?
Just go to school. Hang out with your friends. Do your homework. Be a kid.
See you later, man. It was good working with you, Cody.
See you later, kid.
A succession of vans pass by Cody.
Well, it's not just thanks.
He waves goodbye sadly.
See ya.
He stares up the dark street with tears beginning to form as the vans drive away. His parents are waiting up for him.
Are you okay?
Hey.
Where have you been? What happened?
Cody. Did that girl do this to you?
No. That would be the bullies we ran into. It's no big deal.
Well, and then you protected her.
Kinda.
Well, what were you doing out so late?
We just talked.
So you're okay? Are you sure? Well, in that case, young man, you are so grounded. Do you have any idea what time it is? Okay, go to your room.
Yeah, I'm in the fire level. Where are you?
Alex!
I gotta go.
Hey, I told you not to touch my stuff. Give me all that.
Just the Game Boy. I know what I'm doing.
This stuff is special. So is the phone. Give it to me.
A hologram appears.
If you want to disable a surveillance lock, press pound 15. If you want to return to main menu,
who's he?
A guy from the phone company.
What guy from the phone company?
A guy that works for the phone company. What do you care?
What, you think I'm stupid? What's going on here?
Fine. I'm a junior secret agent working for the CIA. They gave me this stuff. Happy?
Whatever.
What's this?
I don't know. It's been doing that for a couple of hours. I think the battery's low or something.
A blinking red light just south of Seattle on a map of the US. A hologram shows the mountain base.
Turquoise is my favorite.
I know. She still has the microsensor. She's in the Cascade Mountains. Please, the director's gotta talk to me. This is important.
It's not available.
Well, what about Ronica Miles?
She is not available either.
Can you track her down?
I'm sorry, Mr. Bags.
Will anybody take my call?
Sorry, Bags.
I have to go.
You can't leave. You're grounded.
Alex, how would you like to become a junior agent?
What's in it for me?
Cody sneaks out of the house whilst in his room his brother is counting out some money with a big smile on his face. Now Cody's at CIA headquarters when he slams his hand on a sleeping security guard's desk.
Hey, Roger Chuck. Open the doors.
Yeah.
You don't need to see a badge or anything?
No, not from you.
Didn't think so.
Cody hurries inside and goes to the gadget lab. He hurries down the stairs and places his skateboard on a table. He takes his rucksack off and notices the badge that Ronica gave him. He removes it, then notices the car which had caught his eye before.
What?
We haven't heard a peep out of him.
Who?
Maybe I was a little hard on him.
I think I'm just going to go check on him.
Alex, go to bed.
Alex rings the telephone.
Hello? Hello?
Alex sneaks round the outside of the house, climbs in through the open window of Cody's bedroom, and hides under the duvet.
Cody? You all right?
I guess.
You gonna stay in here all night?
I guess.
All right, are you mad at me and Dad?
I guess.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you gonna disobey us again and stay out past your curfew?
I guess.
Just kidding.
All right, then. Good night.
Mrs. Banks goes, and Alex emerges from under the duvet, breathing a sigh of relief. Cody's in the car from the gadget lab. He looks down at a mountainside fishing dock where a number of boats and a seaplane are moored. He hurries down the gangway and speaks with the pilot.
I need to get to Red Face.
He hands over a large bundle of notes, and now the pilot is starting the seaplane up. The propellers whir into life, and the plane takes off. In the cockpit, the pilot carefully maneuvers the plane through the low cloud, whilst Cody wipes condensation from his window to get a better view of the snow-capped mountain range. At CIA headquarters.
He stole the car?
And a few other items, sir. He's gone after Connor's daughter. You have to admire his perseverance.
No, I don't! Resisting orders, stealing government property. Apparently, my summer camp wasn't training operatives. It was training hoodlums. This is your fault. Now, you find that punk, or I'm going to have your job. Who let him in here, anyway?
Me. Rosichuk.
Rosichuk.
Cascade Mountains. Cody's been dropped off on one of the peaks and waves at the seaplane as it heads back. He puts down a jet-powered snowboard and straps in his feet. After adjusting his goggles, he hits the ignition switch and blue flames shoot out of the back of the jets. After hitting another button, Cody zips down the mountainside. Woo-hoo! He carves up the snow, taking huge jumps. After hitting a lip in the mountainside, he fails to land his jump, but rights himself and continues to speed along. He cuts through a forested area, then reaches a wire fence marked with a sign reading "No Trespassing." A device on his wrist shows the bleeping red dot that indicates Natalie's location. He takes out his laser pen and begins to cut through the thick wire fence. Now he's speeding along the snow once more. Back at the wire fence, a figure wearing goggles and a helmet pulls up on a snowmobile and spots a freshly broken metal wire. He roars off on his snowmobile in hot pursuit of Cody. Cody stops and is confronted by his pursuer.
Stop, you're in an
intersection. Cody hits the ignition and jumps up, striking the guard in the face with his snowboard. Cody lands and burns the guard on the bottom with the snowboard's jet engine, setting fire to the man's backside. Another guard on the snowmobile appears and chases Cody down the mountain.
You are inside our restricted area!
They both take a jump over a snowy ridge.
Stop or you will be intercepted!
The guard hits a tree branch and the snowmobile explodes in a huge ball of flames. Cody looks back with a smile, but doesn't see the huge drop rapidly approaching. He falls, then finds himself wedged, hanging upside down from a tree. He tries to free his feet but can't reach. The situation becomes more desperate when the jet engine ignites one of the tree branches. Suddenly, Ronica appears dressed in silver, descending from the sky in a personal hover vehicle.
Need any help? No, I'm fine.
Cody unclips his feet and falls into the snow. Ronica lands her machine next to him and unbuckles her safety belt. He looks up and switches off the snowboard engine.
How'd you find me? I threw away that transceiver you put on me.
That wasn't a transceiver. That was an 18-karat gold pin that my mentor gave to me.
Sorry.
Don't you think the CIA has LoJack on its stuff? Even that board has one.
Ronica takes off her sunglasses and watches with bemusement as Cody tries to climb the tree.
What are you doing? What do you think? I'm getting the board.
You can hop on with me instead.
Listen, I'm not going back with you. I'm here to rescue Natalie.
Me too.
He turns and looks at her earnestly. Now, Ronica's strapping herself back into the hover vehicle. When Cody tries to climb on so that they're face to face, she makes him turn round. The two huge overhead rotors of the hover vehicle start to revolve and they take to the skies, cruising over the mountains. Cody checks the device on his wrist and points in the direction for Ronica to head. They approach a huge wall of rock, which Cody points towards. Part of the rock face opens up and they head for the concealed entrance. Ronica lands on the small rocky ledge next to the closing doors. Inside the hangar, a helicopter has just landed. Ronica looks up and notices the doors are nearly closed.
The doors. Stand clear.
They sneak in unseen just before the doors close. Brinkman steps off the helicopter. Cody and Ronica peer down at the futuristic base. They spot a monorail car and sneak towards it.
Everything okay?
Sure. Ronica and Cody are now on the monorail car, hiding behind a row of canisters. The monorail transports them into another lab where scientists are working at complex computer terminals. Ronica removes her silver cap that matches her cat suit. Cody. Cody notices a sign above another lab that reads, Danger Cryosuit Area.
So that's how they're doing it. The ice cubes. That's how they plan to distribute the nanobots. Everyone uses ice cubes. No one will know what hit them.
Cody spots Brinkman.
So difficult to get good sushi in the mountains, Francois. How's the girl?
She's trouble.
She's 15 years old. How much trouble can she be?
Natalie's imprisoned in a dome made of triangular pieces of plastic. Ronica and Cody jump off the monorail train and hurry down a set of stairs.
That signal force in the
They sneak towards the dome. Cody uses his MP3 player to hack the door panel and unlock it. Cody goes inside.
Cody?
Shh.
Oh my god, they got you too.
No, I'm here on my own.
What are you doing here?
How about we discuss it over some ice cream? Come on.
I'm not going anywhere until I find out what's going on here.
I'll tell you about it later, let's go.
No, last time I went out with you, it didn't go so well.
Francois is watching a monitor.
Group 5 to yellow sector.
Boss, take a look at this. It's that kid again.
Brinkman looks down from the balcony to the dome.
Go get him.
Guys,
it must be love.
You're not gonna propose to me, are you?
No, I'm just hiding from the camera. Look, I work for the CIA.
Yeah, right.
No, really, I'm serious. I'm part of this agent development program. And getting to you was my first assignment.
And why did you need to get to me?
To get to your dad.
Oh. Great. So... So you just used me.
Ronica sets a device with a small flashing light next to a ventilation unit.
Different.
Ronica sets another device next to a different ventilation shaft. Cody pulls Natalie away from the camera.
Listen. In the beginning, it was just my assignment. But towards the end, they...
They what?
They pulled me off the job. They pulled me off the job because I was getting too emotionally attached to this subject.
Ronica.
You gotta go, now.
Cody, what is the school nurse doing here?
Well, I was gonna tell you, but...
Hello. Ronica Miles, CIA. Let's go.
Come on, we gotta go.
Let's go.
Sorry.
Loads of guards.
We were just leaving.
They grab Ronica, Natalie, and Cody.
All right, come on, let's go.
Come on.
Cody shocks the guards with his watch.
Cody!
Go get him!
She throws a detonator. Two guards restrain Ronica while the others chase after Cody.
T-3 hours until distribution sequence.
The guards lead Ronica and Natalie up to Brinkman's balcony. He turns in his chair and stares at them seriously.
Don't tell me. CIA, right?
Love that suit. No place for a gun in there, eh?
Where is my dad?
I'm not going to tell you. Where's little Lovable?
We can't get out. We'll find him. Bring Connors up.
Francois goes.
Central Intelligence Agency. Just in time.
Dr. Connors is hustled up the stairs whilst Natalie is forced into a chair.
Natalie!
Dad!
Dr. Connors, I'm going to place this ice cube containing thousands of nanobots on your daughter's forehead.
No!
Program the nanobots to obey that remote control. If you don't, her body temperature will cause the ice to melt, releasing the nanobots, which will then eat away indiscriminately.
Dad, don't do it!
All right, I'll do it. Just let her go.
Program the remote, that's exactly what I'll do.
Stay calm, Natalie.
Dr. Connors places his PDA into a cradle.
water on your daughter's forehead, Doctor.
I can't do it this quick. I need more time. This is a very complicated process.
Ice is melting.
Give it up, Brinkman! Let her go!
What are you going to do about it?
How about I blow this place up? Now let Natalie go!
Brinkman rubs the ice across Natalie's face. Hits the detonator and the charges that Monica set explode. She escapes from her captors. The ice cube is thrown across the room and Connors cowers from the explosion. Natalie makes a dive for the ice cube and picks it up. Monica fights with Francois. Brinkman looks at the chaos all around him and screams in rage. Natalie strides forward and shoves the ice cube into his mouth. Brinkman begins to seize up and a guard grabs Natalie.
Francois! Get them removed! Stop it, Francois! Stop it!
It's not gonna work.
Francois fiddles with the PDA but seems unsure how to use it. He turns a tiny transmitter dish on the top round to face Brinkman, but it doesn't seem to help. Monica kicks a heavy in the back, who falls over the side of the balcony and crashes into the laboratory. She turns to Brinkman, who's starting to convulse. He falls to the floor as the nanobots start to eat him from the inside.
Stop it! I don't know what to do!
Cody leaps into the air and punches Francois square in the face, sending him flying through a wire guardrail and off the balcony in a shower of sparks.
Nice job. Thanks. You all right?
Yeah.
Let's go, come on.
Yeah.
Cody sets a timer for 5 minutes.
Nanobot containment breach. Please proceed to the nearest evacuation tunnel. Warning, Nanobot...
The ice is starting to melt. As they make their escape, a pillar falls in front of Natalie and Cody.
Natalie! Natalie!
Need another chopper!
Be careful!
Come on!
Monica leads Dr. Connors away. Natalie and Cody find some snowmobiles and hop on one. A huge explosion sends debris crashing through the dome. Monica pushes Connors into the chopper.
Get in!
Nanobot containment. Please proceed to the nearest evacuation tunnel. Warning.
She opens the hangar doors and then climbs aboard. Natalie and Cody are speeding through the base on their snowmobile.
I don't see them.
Relax, they'll be here.
I do not see them. Where are they?
A glass door closes in front of Natalie and Cody, but they smash through it. They zoom up the stairs and crash at the top. Natalie gets up and hugs her father.
Thank God.
Come on, we gotta go!
Get in!
There's 3.5 minutes left on the timer. The hangar doors are stuck.
They're jammed!
Cody bashes the control panel, but it doesn't help. The nanobots are eating up the stairs. Veronica maneuvers the chopper to hover just above the helipad whilst Cody jumps down to the lab floor. The stairs begin to fall away as the nanobots do their work.
Oh,
Cody opens up a drawer of the nanobot ice cubes and hurls them at the hangar doors. He continues to throw them, and eventually the doors start to fall apart. He calls up to Ronica in the chopper. She swings the helicopter round and directs it clear out of the hangar. Yeah! Yeah! There's 2 minutes and 11 seconds left when Cody climbs up to the hangar entrance. The helicopter is hovering a little way in front of him. Just as he spots Ronica's hover vehicle, Francois appears behind him. Cody's knocked to the ground, right at the edge of the sheer cliff face.
You messed up my haircut! See? See?
Francois lifts Cody above his head and is about to throw him over the edge when Cody punches him. He then tries to kick him, but Francois grabs his ankle. Cody spins round and kicks Francois with his other foot. Then he jumps over to the hover vehicle. There's 1 minute left on the timer. Francois catches up with Cody, who runs round the other side of the hover vehicle. As Francois grabs at Cody, the young agent manages to punch him in the groin. Whilst he recovers, Cody straps him into the flying machine. On the back panel, Cody hits a button marked Home, and Destination CIA appears on the display. The motors start, and the vehicle follows its commands, taking Francois with it. Now there's only 22 seconds left on the explosive. Cody makes a huge, desperate leap and hangs onto one of the landing skids of the helicopter. He climbs up and stands on the edge. The timer ticks down and a huge explosion rips through the base. Cody and the others fly away just in time to avoid the massive fireball, and they head towards the sunlit horizon. Later, Cody's back at the CIA. He looks down proudly at his pass. A door opens, revealing Francois shackled to a circular metal disc. He chuckles and smiles maniacally.
Sorry about your hair.
Yeah? Not as sorry as you're going to be.
Ronica.
How's your family?
They're a little worried.
Really?
They want me to go back to public school, you know, safer. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I know that freaks you out.
No. It's okay. You're my handler.
Partner.
They walk into the large control room, and all the other agents break out in applause.
Congratulations, for God, son.
Nicely done, Agent.
Come here, you big lug.
One of the surveillance guys bear hugs him with a huge grin. The general frowns, but then smiles and salutes Cody, who returns the gesture. The CIA director turns in his chair and frowns seriously before stepping towards Cody.
Well done, Max. The country's proud of you. If there's ever anything we can do for you, anything at all.
Well, there is one thing.
I cannot believe that!
my driver's license! And so fast, too!
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
So weird.
Hey,
come on, calm down. We're going.
Cody looks terrified. Now they're watching the sunset.
It's so beautiful out here.
Just like you.
They're about to kiss when a hologram appears.
Little boy Blue, come blow your horn.
Veronica, not now.
Cody, do not turn me off. I need to speak to you. Cody, turn me around this instant.
Now, what was my mission?
I think you're about to kiss me.
They kiss lovingly, facing the water under a beautiful orange sky.